Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hey, what's good? Welcome back to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for joining us. A quick reminder, we're on the road quite a bit here this spring, heading into the summer, a lot of camps, a lot of showcases. So we're tweaking our schedule for releases on the podcast, Tuesdays and Thursdays, at least temporarily until everything kind of gets back to normal in terms of the workflow. But make sure you head on over to 24/7 Sports for all the latest on your favorite college football team and recruiting news. We had Gabe Brooks at the Elite 11 stop in Dallas. There was a couple other big events this past weekend. You don't want to miss any of that news. We're going to bring on National Recruiting Director for 24/7 Sports, Steve Wiltfong. He's on the line. Steve, how are we doing?
Doing great, Blair. Doing well. How about yourself, brother?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. I was telling Brandon Huffman a couple weeks ago on this podcast that it's nice to get back into a rhythm, right? With a lot of camps, a lot of showcases, hitting the road, seeing prospects in person, something that we didn't get to do a lot of in 2020. And I think it's allowed us to really get a full grasp of not only a kid's recruitment, but evaluations and, you know, kind of sync what we saw on tape and on film during the fall for a lot of these players, and being able to see them in person has been very valuable for us and also very welcome, right? To be able to kind of get a full scope of things.
Yeah, man. It's just, I feel like we're back to normal, man. I'm like in the spring football out west. I can record or watch these games on Fox Sports West, or is it Bally's now, or whatever it's called. Anyway, Greg Biggins is on, and I'm tuned in.
Yeah, it's been a blast. One player that we want to lead off the show with, and he made an announcement this last week, was the number one tight end in the country, Jake Johnson, out of the state of Georgia, number 80 overall in the 24/7 Sports rankings, also a top 80 player nationally in the composite. He comes off the board and makes his announcement, commits to the LSU Tigers, giving LSU and that staff another notable recruiting victory at that position after a couple successful cycles at the tight end spot.
Yeah, LSU with the number 5 recruiting class 3 years ago, the number 4 recruiting class 2 years ago, and the number 3 class last year, sitting at number 3 early in the cycle here in 2022. Jake Johnson, one of the jewels, 6'5", 225 pounds. Quickness is his game, length, ball skills. He can create separation easily, sure-handed. With that size, he can go up over people and make plays. Dangerous after the catch with his physicality along with his quickness. And a big pickup, obviously, his older brother's a quarterback in Baton Rouge, so the crystal ball favorite LSU for a long time for Jake, and his brother's having a good experience there. And so that was always the thing, you know, if older brother's having a good experience, probably, you know, leads to Jake, you know, landing there as well. And now he's in the class, one of 12 commits, a class that's led by 2 5-stars, 2 in-state players, the top 2 players from Louisiana, and quarterback Walker Howard and Will Campbell. So this offense is really coming together. You got your franchise quarterback who won a state championship last year. You got your franchise left tackle who everyone in the SEC wanted in Will Campbell. Then you go out and get the number one tight end in the country in Jake Johnson, and you got yourself a matchup nightmare out there.
You know, there was a lot of question marks, specifically with LSU and you know, kind of that offense and whether or not they'd be able to attract other positions, because we know they're going to be able to recruit receivers. They've always done a terrific job of not only recruiting the receiver position, but also developing the receiver position. Obviously, in recent years at running back, they've thrived. We've seen them elevate themselves, that whole staff, Coach Orgeron, and the pedigree that he's brought over. We knew he was going to be able to recruit defensive linemen and obviously defensive backs. quarterbacks. They're among the select few programs that can maybe peg themselves or tag themselves as DBU, but they are taking those next steps in other positions and really elevating this program to elite and in that premium kind of radar in terms of the national overall rankings. And tight end is one of those spots. I feel like what they did getting Eric Gilbert a couple classes ago was obviously monumental, and to beat out some of the programs that they beat out for his signature. Obviously, we're still waiting to see what transpires with him in the transfer portal and, you know, and all that. But I do feel like it's a message that this staff is sending, that not only are they going to be able to recruit some of those positions that we know LSU can recruit at, but they are attacking and they are being very meticulous with some certain spots on that roster.
Oh, man. I mean, you look at LSU, and that team that won the national championship had 14 draft picks, Blair, led by Joe Burrow, who went number one overall, 5 first rounders, Chase on Justin Jefferson, who's taken the NFL by storm, Patrick Queen, who's a difference maker for the Ravens, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who came out the gate for the Chiefs and was terrific in the opener for them and certainly made a big impact. And so with the NFL success, with the success on the field, you know, it's easy to see why LSU is crushing it. And you know, looking up and down our top 100 and prospects. I did that article this week on the race for number one and kind of taking a heat check on some of the biggest names in this class. I mean, Coach O is talking to all of them. Heck, LSU's not even in the top 3 or 4 for some of them, but Coach O's getting them on the phone, taking a shot. He's just got a relentless attitude when it comes to recruiting. And with that, as we let off the segment, number 5 3 years ago in the country class, number 4 2 years ago, number 3 last year. They're trying to improve upon that this year. They're sitting at number 3 right now, but they're in the mix to finish number 1 nationally. But certainly they're on track to sign another class that's going to keep them in contention for a national title for years to come.
Staying in the SEC, Steve, was the fact that this past weekend, one of the big recruiting events of the spring, A-Day at Alabama, we saw what Florida State was able to do a couple weeks ago with their spring game, attracting a number of 4-star prospects, a handful of 5-stars, and really building buzz heading into June, which is when the dead period will be lifted officially. Now the NCAA Division I Council announcing that campus visits will once again be allowed, and in-person face-to-face contact between coaches and recruits will be permissible. But Alabama now starts to build some momentum. We saw them come out of the gate a bit slow in the 2021 cycle. That didn't really matter. Them signing probably one of the best recruiting classes ever. And now with A-Day in the rearview mirror, what kind of buzz had you heard about what went down in Tuscaloosa this past weekend?
Well, I think the atmosphere was something that excited a lot of prospects that were there that hadn't been in an atmosphere like that in almost, you know, in over a year, you know, unless you went to the Florida State spring game the week before. So I think the atmosphere in Tuscaloosa was really exciting for the prospects there. Walter Nolan, the number one defensive tackle in the country, number 2 player overall, was there with his family. His dad told me he thinks Alabama is going to repeat as national champs after watching them go through their spring practice live. And so they definitely continue to make an impression on Walter. It sounds like he also said his official visit, his dad said, for the last weekend of June, as they battle, you know, Georgia and Michigan and LSU and Ohio State and several others for him. Alabama seems to be in a great shot for Walter Nolan. Florida's in there. But, you know, they had some big time guys in the younger classes and just a chance for them to come into Tuscaloosa and get a feel for, you know, that environment and watch Coach Saban and his staff work in person.
I've been anticipating a kind of a run of early commitments, because you touched on it there. These recruits haven't been able to get on campuses and meet with staffs and meet with coaches for a long time. A lot of them, this is their first taste of the recruiting process. They've been waiting, they've been hoping, they've been bracing for this moment to actually go and experience things. And I was mentioning this a couple of weeks ago. I feel like there's going to be a run of really early commitments because some of these prospects are going to fall in love with that first place that they see. And I feel like Alabama drawing the attention and drawing the presence of so many prospects is very notable, and it could help them down the road as well.
I think, Blair, that we're going to get back on to the sink that we were in. What I'm trying to enunciate as I struggle for my words here, brother, is that the NCAA calendar is going to return to normal in June. I think a lot of kids are going to take you know, their 4 to 5 official visits in June and make a decision, but there will be some that don't. And those will be the guys that are making their decisions, you know, taking their officials during the fall and, you know, announcing late. But I think that June is going to be as busy as we've been. Kids are chomping on the bit to get on the road. These are going to be some monster recruiting weekends each week nationally. There's a lot of midweek visits being scheduled, I've noticed. Kids still want to decide before their senior season. Schools still want kids to sign in December so they can evaluate what they have coming in, where their roster sits going into spring football. And I think that normalcy is really, really close for us once this dead period's officially lifted.
We're joined by Steve Wilfong. We're going to be back with more here on the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to tell you about the all-new Stitcher Podcast app. It's been rebuilt from the ground up to make it easier to listen to podcasts on the go or on the revamped web player. Stitcher is home to all your favorite podcasts from the classics like My Favorite Murder, This American Life, and How Did This Get Made, to the CBS shows such as First Cut Golf and Fantasy Baseball Today. In Stitcher, you have more control, like setting your download preferences per show and the ability to listen at virtually any speed. With Stitcher, you can listen to your podcast anytime, anywhere. So give the all-new Stitcher a try. Download it on the App Store or at stitcherapp.com/download. Steve, let's get into a five-star prospect that has been able to now, with the dead period lifted, a chance to kind of make a roadmap for himself, right? I know he wants to take an early commitment, and now he has some visits. That would be five-star running back Gavin Sawchuk. He's the number 2 overall running back in the composite, a speedster, an electric playmaker out of the state of Colorado. And those 4 schools that he will be going out to are Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and USC. I know that he's been pretty cautious with being able to, I guess, kind of schedule some of these trips. I know he has a few schools in mind that could potentially get that 5th visit, but those 4 schools right now are in a thick of the race for one of the better players at that position in the country.
Well, Oklahoma has been trending on the 24/7 Sports crystal ball for Sawchuk for quite some time. And I think that still that's the program that's in the best spot for him. The relationship with Lincoln Riley, DeMarco Murray, it has more longevity than any other school. I think he's comfortable there with the offense. I think that it's a genuine relationship. And so he feels good on and off the field about Oklahoma. Notre Dame's kind of the dream school. Well, I don't know if dream school is the right word, but the school that he's been a fan of or rooted for. He did a school project on Notre Dame a long time ago and has just kind of taken an interest in that school. Notre Dame wasn't really one that was in the mix 6 months ago for Sawchuk, but they've really put themselves in a good position here, led by Lance Taylor. They've had some good Zoom meetings with Brian Kelly. They're going to get what it looks like the last official visit on June 25th. But so I think Notre Dame's kind of in an intriguing spot, even though I like my Oklahoma crystal ball. He took a visit out to USC this spring and obviously really liked it because he's going back there the weekend of June 4th. And USC, they're just kind of doing a really good job of being involved. As I mentioned with LSU earlier in the show, USC's involved with a lot of great players in this class and seem to be on a lot of short lists, Gavin Sawchuk being one of them. And then Ohio State, Tony Alford's a guy that they like a lot over there, the Buckeyes running backs coach. Ohio State and Notre Dame are kind of recruiting a lot of the same backs right now. When you look at Gavin Sawchuk, Nicholas Singleton, Dallin Hayden, it'll be interesting to see who falls where down the road.
you know, he's got a lot of different choices there in terms of not only, I guess, location, but also offensive playing styles, right? So he's got an air raid school in there in USC and a program that might not have the notoriety at running back in recent years. I don't think they've signed a top 24/7 running back for at least four cycles dating back to when they had Stephen Carr. So they've struggled at that spot, and there will be an opportunity for him to head out west and play for USC and play early. But there are question marks, right, about the involvement of the running back. I don't think there's the same amount of questions with the other schools, right? Ohio State's been churning out running backs. Notre Dame plays a very attractive style for running backs as well. And then Oklahoma is the interesting one for me because they already have a five-star prospect or a five-star candidate at one of those spots, and that would be Relique Brown out of Modern Day High School in California. Now, they want him as a receiver, kind of a scat back, all-purpose, slot type of player. But he's also got that designation of being able to go out in space and getting the ball in his hands. And I wonder how effective could Oklahoma be with two players filling a role like that, where they're trying to get them out in space, create mismatch issues, and kind of feature some of these players. I know Oklahoma's also in on Javonte Barnes, another highly rated running back from out west. And I think that's one of the interesting dynamics to monitor heading into some of these official visits, because these spots are filling up. And I think these players realize that, you know, they better jump on some of these schools. They better jump on some of these opportunities before, you know, a school or a coach has to move on.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma, Coach Riley's one of the more innovative offensive minds in college football. He knows how to create mismatches, and they've, you know, they have a standard that they're recruiting every position room, and guys that choose to play at places like Oklahoma aren't going to be scared off by competition. I mean, these are alpha personalities, and, you know, the cream rises to the top at places like Oklahoma, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. And Gavin Sawchuk's a guy that they've been pushing for a long time and prioritized, and, you know, they wanted to come in there and push the room and think he can be a difference maker just like the other finalists.
I know you're pretty tied in with this recruitment. How big are academics for Gavin Sawchuk? I know he also took an unofficial visit out to Stanford. So he's got the grades. He's got kind of that hunger to learn in the classroom and to pursue some of the networking and the degree aspect of it. And among those schools, I mean, I don't want the fan bases to, you know, to at me on Twitter or anything, but it feels like Notre Dame probably offers the best package in terms of the degree and in terms of the education.
Notre Dame is a small school, you know, so we'll see if that's the environment he's looking for. Notre Dame's a place where I've always said kids know whether or not they're going to go there pretty quickly when they step on campus. So, you know, the visit will be big for Sawchuk and his family when he goes out there. And then I think he's going to go after his Notre Dame visit. He's got like a work trip. My man's got a school trip that he's going to take take a step back from the recruiting process. And then, you know, when he comes back, should be able to make a decision after stepping away from talking to coaches and stuff.
He will be in Poland of all places, Steve, for that school trip. So nothing like, it's nothing like escaping out to Europe, right, into the Alps and into kind of the away from the noise and shutting off his phone. He'll have a couple weeks to really digest some of those official visits, USC, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and then come to a decision before his senior season. So that's going to be one of the more interesting recruitments to monitor in the weeks to come. Steve, I know you've got a flight to catch, so I really appreciate you hopping on the show and can't wait to do it again.
Man, thank you, Blair. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right, that is Steve Wilfong. You can follow him on Twitter at SWilfong247. That'll do it for us. Check back later this week for another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Magical! Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.